Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
If you had to put money on one diet being the best for long-term health, keto or carnivore, which one would you pick? I found tremendous healing from a keto diet years ago, but my problem with keto was, and I didn't learn this until I started carnivore, I couldn't moderate.
Why risk putting yourself in harm's way? If alcohol is the addictive substance, you wouldn't say, just have a little bit of the alcohol periodically. That doesn't make sense. I absolutely believe that for humans, the best diet is still.
The following is one part of a series of videos with the wonderful Dr. Tony Hampton. If you'd like to watch the other episodes, please check the playlist in the description and be sure to follow Dr. Tony Hampton on YouTube. Link in the description below. Dr. Hampton, you advocate for a keto diet, a carnivore diet. You kind of meet people where they're at, which I think is great. But if you had to put money on one diet being the best for long-term health, keto or carnivore, which one would you pick?
Yeah, well, I'm a little biased now, but I would say that you have to have a dietary pattern that gives you the essential foods to live. And if we break it down to macronutrients, that would be the essential proteins, essential fats, essential amino acids, proteins, essential fatty acids. So my logic says that if you put me on a island somewhere and I had to live there, I wouldn't want a beach ball like Tom, you know, Hanks. Like, don't give me a beach ball. You do need a little companionship, so maybe that's okay. I'm not sure I would want an apple a day to keep the doctor away, because that's a carb that does not give you those essential amino acids and proteins. I would probably say an egg a day. So if I can get, you know, I know we're having a crisis with chickens right now, but give me an egg a day, a chicken that doesn't have bird flu, maybe a few chickens because you need a few. And I would say that's what I would want. So therefore, with that logic in mind, I would want to exist like the Inuit and the Maasai in Kenya, in Africa. And I would want to have that type of dietary pattern. So based on biochemistry and logic, I think that the carnivore diet is the most logical diet. I don't have to dodge the plants that are trying to kill me, as Dr. Chafee would say. I don't have to worry about my belly being unhappy on that island. I just eat my egg a day, and I get all the essential nutrients. So I think for anybody who's not sure, do an elimination diet, get down to carnivore. And then if you choose to, like my wife does, to eat plants periodically, she's more ketovore like Nisha Berry, that's okay. But understand that if you put a gun to my head, that's exactly what I would say. Give your body what it needs, and it will take care of the rest on its own. So that's why I think the carnivore diet is the best diet for most of us if we had to choose one.
That's a great transition to the second topic I was hoping to talk to you about, which is keto versus carnivore. My next question was, you mentioned Dr. Chafee, and he said this before, there's millions of species on this planet. Every species has an intended diet, like a koala bear eats eucalyptus, a lion eats gazelles, a cow eats grass. Do you believe there's a single proper human diet for humans?
Yeah, I think it is true that humans are omnivore in the sense that they can eat plants. It should not be their primary focus, however. In other words, if I'm in the forest and I'm trying to, survive, if I run into some berries, then not a problem. But I can't survive on berries. You know, this ideal of Winnie the Pooh, for example, eating honey, right? He has a big belly because he eats honey. And therefore, Winnie the Pooh can't survive on honey alone. He needs to eat salmon, like a real bear. And I think that essential protein and essential fat is a better model. So I absolutely believe that for humans, the best diet is still...
Quick interruption. Beast Mode Soap sent me this soap. 100% beef tallow, free to try. This is certified grass-fed tallow, never vegan, made in the USA, natural essential oils. We got forest ash, paleo pine. We're in the pine forest. The forest ash is my favorite. I've been using it for a while now. They sent this to me for free, but I liked it so much I agreed to do a paid partnership with them because I believe people need to know what they're putting on their body. And the soap that I had at home is full of chemicals, detergents. Seriously, after I use this soap, my skin feels so soft and so incredible. What you put on your skin ends up in your bloodstream. And I only want to put good things in my body and on my body. And this, there couldn't be much better. This is 100% beef tallow. Learn more at beastmodesoap.com.
I absolutely believe that for humans, the best diet is still the diet that gives you proteins and fat, and how you get there is on you. You know, rather you're eating salmon or a ribeye, I think that's up to you, but I think that that's still the best way to go.
When we talk about keto or carnivore, what are some of the biggest mistakes people make if they're focused more on a keto diet?
Man, it's not understanding what your body may need. When you start a keto diet, a lot of times you don't realize that the carbohydrates were attracting water, salt, potassium, magnesium into your body. And when you go on a keto diet, you're going to eliminate the carbohydrates, and there you're going to be basically getting rid of the salt, water, potassium, magnesium. So the first thing you have to do is you may need electrolytes. Ironically, and many of us can say this, I really didn't do electrolytes until maybe a year into carnivore or keto, because I really didn't feel like I needed it. And then I had, you know, every once in a while you get a cramp. So I don't really do electrolytes every day. I certainly make sure I salt my food very well. So I think that's the main thing. The other thing is people are very afraid of fat. And when you're doing a keto diet or a carnivore diet, you really need to celebrate fat. You have to fix your fear of fat, because you really need fat, not only to make you feel full, et cetera, but when you eat too much protein, you can really get a condition like rabbit sickness, where your body is really not going to thrive very well. You need the fat to balance things out. So I think anybody who's getting started on this dietary pattern, make sure they need to have a high fat diet. So you have electrolytes, you have fat, and I think you need to also be patient. Sometimes we're expecting results to be very sudden. So the reality is, for some people who are really insulin resistant, I think they really need to allow their body time to heal, because just having fat cells in your body can cause inflammation. So I think it's better to, you know, give yourself grace. It took you years to get to this point, and you want to really give yourself the grace to know it's going to take some time to heal. So measure certain things like your insulin levels and your A1Cs and your inflammatory markers like a SED rate or a C-reactive protein. You measure these things to see how you're doing, but give yourself grace. Some people take more time, and that's because it's not just about the food. It's about how's your stress level. Are you getting enough sleep? How's the relationships at home? So when you go to work, do you stress out because your supervisor is giving you a hard time? So you have to really look at everything and try to figure it out. And I think a big mistake people make is that they expect results too fast. So if we can understand what's going to happen with our electrolytes And knowing that in advance is going to help us to say, oh, I'm supposed to feel fatigued and maybe have a headache or be tired because my body's not used to burning ketones as fuel. So that's why it's so important as we learn that we incorporate those learnings into our expectations, because some people will start these dietary patterns and think, oh, I can't do it. It made me feel sick. Well, the reality is it's actually helping you to heal and detoxify, and you just have to give your body time. So that's kind of that's the angle I take with patients. And I think that's a good overview of how people should approach it.
I found tremendous healing from a keto diet years ago. But my problem with keto was, and I didn't learn this until I started carnivore, I couldn't moderate. So I'd lose a bunch of weight, and then I would try to go back to moderation, and I'd get a little taste of carbs, and I'd end up gaining all of the weight back. And I found that on carnivore, I'm like an alcoholic, and I'm not going to drink alcohol anymore. I'm fully abstaining. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on, I guess, just carb addiction in general.
Yeah, carb addiction, and I want to do a shout out to Dr. Joan Iflin because she's doing work. There are still people who believe that carb addiction is not a thing. They just don't believe it. But the reality is the neurons in your brain that have addictive tendencies are going to be stimulated and triggered by carbs as if it was like a drug. So there's no question that that's a problem. And it's almost like when I eat a ribeye, the ribeye is delicious to me, right? But it doesn't give you that rapid rush, that dopamine rush that happens with sugar. And that dopamine in a carb-loaded meal it makes you feel good. That's dopamine is our feel good neurotransmitter. So over time, if we keep hitting that receptor and keep making that dopamine, we're going to rely on it ultimately just to feel normal. So what we want to do is convince people, let's not be on a roller coaster where we're chasing dopamine hits every day, right? Let's not have these sugar spikes and insulin spikes, and we're just on a roller coaster. In order to achieve the mental health, the emotional health, just feeling good overall, we have to level our blood sugars. And so why risk, particularly for people who have carb addictions, why risk putting yourself in harm's way? If alcohol is the addictive substance, you wouldn't say, just have a little bit of the alcohol periodically. That doesn't make sense. And the same is true for people with carb addiction. Let's just eliminate that from the equation. And that way we don't have to negotiate with it every time. That's a much better model. So for people who are challenged with addictions, carnivore is a way safer place to be than in a place where you're kind of periodically exposing yourself to the toxic substance, in this case, carbs. So I just think that's a safer place to be. And I think that there are exceptions. There's probably people who drink alcohol who for some reason can moderate it, even though they used to have a drinking problem. But that's a rare person that can do that. Most people will get that exposure. Those addictive neurons will kick in and you're off to the races. Why put yourself in harm's way? Why put your family in harm's way? We know what alcohol can do to people. Well, carb addiction can destroy families too. So let's get rid of the things that cause so much harm in our families, and most importantly, what causes harm in us. And I think that model is a much better model than a model where we give ourselves a little bit of the poison, expecting a good outcome. That's not a logical way to live.
I think that's such an important message too, because I talk to so many people. They give me a hard time. Oh, Mr. Perfect, you don't cheat on carnivore. Well, I had cheat days when I did keto. And I, like I said, I just yo-yoed forever. So I've been I treated carnivore like an addiction to a hard drug or something, because I am definitely a carb addict. But I see so many people struggling because they'll do carnivore and they'll say, oh, I did good all week. Now I'll have a little bit of, I'll have a artificial sweetener or a little bit of this or a little bit of that. And it's like, I'm not saying it because I'm being dogmatic. I'm just trying to help the people that are addicted. Because it's just like you said, I can't imagine quitting alcohol and then being like, well, I'll have a beer now on Saturday. I'll be fine. Doesn't I'd go completely off the rails again. There's just no way. So I think that's an important message. So my last question I had for you here, keto versus carnivore, is what are your thoughts on kind of the in-between, like the Paul Saladino meat-based with fruit?
Okay. I'm on the south side of Chicago, and most of my patients are senior, meaning, you know, at least 50 and up, you know. So I find that if you are really athletic, like Dr. Saladino, I mean, I think he, you know, surfs often as an hour a day or more, you could probably do fine eating a diet where you add the fruit back, and even the honey in this case. However, for the population I serve on the south side of Chicago, they are not surfing every day. They are very sedentary, and the ability for their body to tolerate one banana is 7 teaspoons of sugar. So if you have a person in front of you, if only 7% of the population in the United States are metabolically healthy, and in a community of color where I live, and many of my patients are from that community, and in that community, you may be down to maybe 3-4% are metabolically healthy. So you're saying most people you see are not metabolically healthy. Telling them to eat nature's candy, which is fruit, doesn't make logical sense, particularly when you think about the fact that in those fruit are antioxidants and phytonutrients that you can also find in spinach. So if you say to me they're not carnivore, well, just eat some spinach. And you'll get the same benefit without the sugar spike. So I think if I were to advise an influencer, highly respected influencer, I would say just keep the nuance and say that a person who is not metabolically healthy, the population I serve, should be very cautious about adding fruit back. And if we put that asterisk up there into the conversation, I would be more comfortable with it. I just don't think that I've seen evidence that my patients would tolerate fruit or honey on a regular basis. I don't care what's in honey. I just think that some of these things are not logical. Anybody not sure about that, particularly if you have a continuous glucose meter, just check your meter after about an hour of eating these things and see what happens. And what'll happen is you're going to spike your blood sugar, and then you're going to spike your insulin, and then you're going to have inflammation, and you're going to have insulin resistance and constriction in your blood vessels. So your blood pressure is a sugar problem. So now your blood pressure is high. Now your blood sugar is high. So what are we doing in the name of getting some nutrients out of fruit when we have other sources of nutrients? So that's my opinion. I think that it's a risky road to take. And I just don't feel that that's the best way to educate the population. But I am very interested in having conversations like this, because I think that we need to understand that there are people out there who want to eat plants or fruit who should be able to if they meet the right criteria. But most Americans do not.
Right. Yeah, that number, every time you say it, so it's what, 93% of people walking around have poor metabolic health.
That's it. And that's from Tufts University. They did a study. It used to be 12%. Then they did another study, and it's only 93% are not metabolically healthy. Now, again, for those who are new to metabolic health, that's where your blood sugar, your blood pressure, your belly, your waist circumference, your triglycerides and HDL are all in the normal range. And if you have 3 out of the 5 of those that are not in the normal range, you're not metabolically healthy. What this study is saying is that one of the 5 is not correct or not normal, therefore you're not metabolically healthy. So it's really, but it's rare to find somebody that only has one that's off. It's usually more than one. Therefore, let's give people the knowledge that if they focus on those 5 things, not the total cholesterol, not the LDL, but focus on the triglycerides, HDL, and those other metrics, if you get those where they should be and they are where they should be, then that'll let you know that you're doing pretty good. And then that'll reduce your risk of 70 to 80% of all the diseases that you are aware of. Just if you name any disease right now, my friend, I'll probably say it's a metabolic disease. It's hard to find ones that aren't. So you solve a lot of problems. If you're an investor, if you're rolling the dice, you would roll the dice on helping people achieve metabolic health. And then you'll solve most problems in a blink of an eye. So I'm really excited. That's why I call myself the Metabolic Health Doc, because I discovered that that was the key to healing.
Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community's wonderful recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below. If you enjoyed today's video, you're going to really enjoy the other videos I did with Dr. Tony Hampton. Link in the description below, and there's a playlist on the screen so you can watch the next one. Thanks so much for watching. Please share this video, leave a thumbs up, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future videos.